out into the Cumberland River. All my cousins were older than me. Cheryl's shaking her head. I didn't really want to do that either back then. But you know how these Madison boys can be, you know. They were a rambunctious bunch, but brought back some memories. I found my two aunts' houses, and they looked much smaller than they did when I was a boy. Cheryl did grow up out off of Pennington Bend Road. She went to Good Pasture. I went to Lipscomb. We met at Lipscomb College many, many years ago, and I always enjoyed dating the Good Pasture girls more than the Lipscomb girls. And later this month, we would have been married 41 years, or will be married 41 years. So, but it's great to be with you. John, he and I were talking earlier. I've seen John Orr's program here with you. I met John about 3 years ago. We support him pretty well at Concord Road. I don't know if I've met anybody that works as hard as John and Susie Orr in recent years. We were eating at a Mexican restaurant. Every time he comes up here, we eat, and he always wants to eat Mexican. But I told him one day, I said, John, what is a habanero? And he looked at me like I was crazy. He said, well, that's a hot pepper. I said, look, you're in Tennessee. We don't know what habaneros are. I said, you maybe ought to change this to the squash program or the okra program or something. And he didn't like that idea one bit. But they do some really good work. And I'm excited to hear you're doing that. In my travels with World Bible School, I go to congregations that are thriving after COVID. I go to congregations that are struggling after COVID. But we all pretty much have one thing in common, is we need to evangelize more where we're at, regardless. Concord Road's in a spot where we have a lot of people that come to us because they don't like what's going on in their own congregations, and that's kind of sad. We're growing there. But, you know, we all need to evangelize more. Now, we've all got a lot of things in common here. We probably all, most of us, have got grandchildren. Maybe some got great-grandchildren. Cheryl and I have three grandchildren, and they're four and younger. And they have inspired me here of late that, you know, I hope to do what I can to make this country a little bit better place for them. So that's one of the things we'll talk about tonight. I'm going to see if I can turn this on. Okay, I can just about see that, but we're all familiar with Matthew 28. We call that the Great Commission, correct? I'm going to read that here just for you. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You know, Jesus' sacrifice and his resurrection were the greatest news that the world could ever have. Okay? Greatest news for all of mankind. His parting words to his disciples were to take that great message and share it with the world. For them to do so and for us to do so as well. Any of you, have you been to Connect Conference that's out at Creve Hall, you know, that started a couple years ago? David Shannon came 2 years ago, right after COVID, and he gave a great message on discipleship. And I wished I could remember it all, but he gave the emphasis on disciples and the difference between disciples, followers, and believers. You know, there are a lot of people who believe in Jesus, but they don't follow Jesus. And there are a lot of people who follow Jesus, but they're not really disciples of Jesus. I started teaching World Bible School 23 or 4 years ago. I was interested, I appreciate it said Minister David Harper. Well, I've never considered myself a minister. But World Bible School 23 years ago kind of changed my focus on what we're to do in the church. I was the coordinator for about 7 years before I agreed to be elder at Concord Road. After 6 years of being an elder, I decided I'd let somebody else have that fun. So I went back to doing some other things, deacon-wise and things like that. But I made a trip overseas with Ruth Orr to Zambia to do some follow-up work on Concord Road's behalf, excuse me, on what was going on with some people that we had were sponsoring over there. And Lord willing, I'm going to go here in 3 weeks back over there again for my fifth trip or sixth trip. But when I went and I saw what was actually going on with these lessons, I was amazed at the effect that these little paper lessons had overseas. And the following that would take place from an individual who's studying as a student, and he takes it home or she takes it home, and their whole household reads it or studies by it, the whole neighborhood might be studying that same lesson. But it gave me a totally different perspective on what we're to do as disciples in the church. My 90, soon to be 90-year-old father, up until about 6 months ago, was the best teacher we had at Concord Road. And being one of the coordinators there, I sorely missed him sharing these lessons, because he did quite a bit. But he just got to the point where he couldn't read and couldn't write. But he's soon going to be 90. So it's a program that just about anybody could be a part of. And I'm not really here to promote World Bible School so much as I'm here to just tell you that there's a lot of things that hopefully we can do, you know, to help within our congregations with that. But Matthew 28, Great Commission. You know, that's what we're all called to do. Mark 16 is about the same message there with that. And then in Romans 1:16, Paul talks about how he's not ashamed of the gospel. As I get older, I appreciate and understand that so much more. As John said, I was a benefits advisor in Medicare for 15 years. I still hold my license. You would be a target market, I think, maybe most of you. But I've kind of given that up. I turned 65 last year, and man, saved Cheryl and I so much money over what it cost you with that. But I am thrilled to be a part of World Bible School. John Reese called me, it was 4 years ago, May, and asked me if I would consider coming to work with them. Well, I was kind of tired of Medicare and all the stuff you had to do. I worked with Cigna, which used to be HealthSpring. And the opportunity, like John said, I appreciate him saying that, just to be a part of a ministry and just do whatever I can across the state of Tennessee. I'm the state representative here. I'm supposed to raise funds. I'm supposed to do church relations. I'm supposed to help start programs, and I enjoy doing every bit of that. I couldn't in my lifetime cover everything in Tennessee, so I try to focus on congregations that would like to have a program, that used to have a program. There's so many that used to that no longer do, but just wonderful to visit with brothers and sisters in the brotherhood with this ministry. Any gardeners out there? Vegetable garden, flower garden, anybody? Okay, I planted my garden here about 2 weeks ago, and it consists of tomatoes, squash, and okra. My dad used to have a big garden. I'd help him a little bit. I'd really help him when everything came in and I could pick it, but he had to give that up about 5 years ago, and I like fresh tomatoes as much as the next person, so I started planting a garden. Well, last year I bought some really inexpensive seed at the last moment at one of our smaller hardware stores, and hardly none of my squash and okra really came up. My tomato plants did good because I bought those as tomato plants. But you know, when you think about Mark 4 and that parable of the sower, we all know what that is. That's the parable that Jesus shares with us about sowing the seed of the gospel. And there's what? Four different soils. You know, the great thing about that parable is we never have to worry about the seed. It's not going to be inferior seed like I put out last year. I bought some really good seed this year, and it's coming up great. I hope the rabbits don't eat it and everything else. But the seed that we read about in Mark that Jesus tells us is the gospel. And I've found out over the years, and this is the way I have been for many years, too often we're concerned about sowing the seed, first of all. We're afraid maybe we're going to get asked some questions we don't know the answers to. Well, I learned a long time ago in sales that if you don't have the answer, don't make one up, because most people can tell if you're authentic or not. So, you know, we can always tell folks, I don't have that answer. I'll get back to you. I'll get John Miller to come speak with you and help you with that. Or you get someone else to help you with that. Or we're afraid that if we sow the seed, we expect it all to be on us, that these people that hear the message obey the message. You're looking at a former salesman that every time he sat in front of somebody, I expected to sign a contract with them and get their business. That's just the way I felt about it. But you know, the gospel is not that way. As much as we would like for it to be that way, and for John Orr's Habanero Home Missions message, he may address it, it's not up to us to make them obey the gospel. We can't make anybody do that. It's up to us just to sow the seed, to share the good news of Jesus, to invite somebody to come to church with us, to invite somebody to be a part of a fellowship. If they choose to do so, that's great. But it doesn't always happen that way. And I dare say in this country, one out of four is really stretching the percentage anyways. I'm going to go to Zambia, Africa, and it's more like one out of two or three over there. They're just more receptive to the gospel than, unfortunately, we are here in the United States. Okay? So when we sow the seed, the productivity is in God's hands. And I think that's the message we have to tell ourselves. May not be the case here, but I see that in a lot of places where we're just so concerned that we're not going to be successful that we don't even start in the first place. I've been asked to teach a class on evangelism start next Wednesday at Concord Road. And I've kind of been reluctant to do that because I've done it before, and it's the same 15 or 18 people that come that are already evangelistic, you know, and I'm hoping some new ones will come. That's a very selfish attitude to have. But I know what I can do. Sometimes it's discouraging what others won't do that you hope that they'll do. But let's leave that up to God, okay? I will hope and pray that your Habanero program goes well for you, okay? Because this is a great location. This is a great building right here. I love old baptistries that's got the paintings and murals in the back. It reminds me of the ones I grew up with in my mother's congregation down in Dresden, Tennessee, and my dad's over in Clemens, North Carolina. We've got one at Concord Road. We don't have any kind. No, ours is just a plain old background, you know. But I hope it's successful for you folks. I believe that there's people in this community that need you, I know there's those that need the gospel, okay? There's a lot of young people that need the wisdom that those of us who are older can give them. Sometimes we just need to search them out and just help them where they need to be helped. You know, most people who are open to the gospel in this country, they've got some troubles, they've got some trials. You know, out in Brentwood, where I live, I grew up in Brentwood, it was nothing like it is now. We have kind of the mindset that they don't need us. They do need us, but they don't think they need us because they have their money and their wealth and all that kind of stuff. But there's people right in our backyard at Concord Road that need the gospel. We just tend to get it in our mind that they don't really are going to listen to us. I'm just kind of waxing here. I'm just kind of sharing with you how I feel about, you know, the church somewhat nowadays. So sow the seed. You know, that's all we're supposed to do is sow the seed. World Bible School is a sowed-seeing ministry. I've said in elders' meetings where you decide what you're going to do with the funds. It's a very heavy responsibility on elders because we're all stewards of God's money and we want to spend it in the best manner possible. But I think World Bible School, if it's not the best, it's one of the best ministries in the Brotherhood. Gospel Chariots is another great one. They're coming to the United States. Maybe they're coming to our rescue. I've seen what they do in Africa and other places. George Funk and that group, man, they're amazing what they do, and they are coming to the United States. But World Bible School is a seed sowing ministry. I work with some of the greatest people in the world. They're a great influence on me. People who really sacrifice for this ministry. You don't go there for the money. You go there because you love the Lord and you want to share the gospel with others. And I'm just thrilled to be there. Since the onset of COVID, that just about killed our printed program. This is what I've done for 23 years. These are great little tools right here. This is good news. I'm here to just share with you, you know, help you any way further I can. But, I mean, you're working with a ministry. But This Is Good News is a great little booklet that you can hand out to your neighbors. It's great for us in the fact that it's got obeying the gospel. It's got a little sketch there. I say a sketch, a little drawn out situation where helps you share, sit down with somebody and just walk them through it. So simple. You know, we think we've got to have a PhD in biblical studies to share the gospel, and we don't. You know, we really don't. But a great little book right here that you could share with those in your family and your neighborhood. But lots of things have gone on since COVID. We've come out just running. We have high schools across the country who are doing these lessons. We have a program called PREP where we go into high schools in countries in Africa. Ghana is the one we're involved with at Concord Road. This is actually our high school class that we have our high school class studying with the junior high class, helping them grade lessons, be involved with World Bible School. The purpose there is for them to go home and tell their parents what they did, that they helped share the gospel tonight, so maybe their parents will get involved with us. Obviously, we have a bigger congregation. We got more high school youth, but this has been taken and replicated across the country. Our youth minister, Keith O'Neill, has been a part of that in implementing this there. And when we get kind of overloaded with lessons, we call on our high school class and our college class to help bail us out. Because a lot of these kids are going to go off to colleges, other places, may not come back to Concord Road, but at least we're putting in their mind that, you know, yeah, I did those World Bible School lessons years ago at Concord Road. I go to lots of congregations where people come up and say, you know, my mother used to be a teacher in World Bible School, or my grandmother was a teacher, you know. Well, the program tends to have suffered a little bit in the last few years, last decade or so, because we've not recruited enough young people in our congregations to be evangelistic. That's on World Bible School, and that's on congregations as well. But great things there with that. Going crazy in places like Zimbabwe, Kenya, Nigeria, Zambia, Malawi. The gospel, there's people very receptive to the gospel in many places in this world. When people tell me the church is dying, is there a chance of the church not existing? I say, well, you know, maybe in your neighborhood, but not overseas. It's not that way in China. It's not that way in the Philippines. It's not that way in lots of places in the world. The gospel is growing and it's flourishing. A lot of great places that we can be involved with the gospel. Australia, Nigeria. We just got through in Nigeria. One of the things we're doing, we've done this in Ghana. We're raising funds to print lessons in these countries because the mail system has failed us during COVID. If you think ours is bad, you don't know anything compared to what mail systems are. Practically shut everything down. So we're going into these countries and building service centers where we print the materials there, store them there, and have workers to follow up. It costs about $50,000-$60,000 to do so in a country. I'm proud to say that God has blessed Concord Road, and Concord Road took the leap of faith to help start that in Ghana. And that program has launched in other congregations and is spreading and doing very well. We just started in Nigeria, and I'm hoping that we'll do so and Zambia pretty soon. Kenya's going to be the third spot. Our programs here in the United States are doing well. We have online programs that reach to everybody in the United States that wants to get involved and study online via the computer. Our students, our greatest student growth online is here in the United States. But congregations, I mean individuals obeying the gospel just all across the country. India, they've taken on themselves in India to reproduce our study material in their own language. If you've heard anything about what's going on in India, the church is exploding in India. They've come under some oppression of late because of things that are going on with the church, but World Bible School is in their languages over in India. That's our printed lesson series. That's what we call the Master Series. The Way to Life is the introductory lesson. Great material just to share with somebody that is new to studying the gospel, finding your way. It talks about life as a map. I mean, this is great material for us to study ourselves if you have grandchildren or great-grandchildren. You know, I, for one, am going to try to be on the leading edge with my grandchildren in maybe a better way than I was with my own sons, okay? It's not that we didn't try with our sons, but you kind of know what you maybe should have done a little better with your own grandkids. At least that's what I'm telling myself. But great little material here for 60 cents. You can canvas your neighborhood if it works with what you're going to do with John Orr, okay? But good material that you can use yourself to help study and learn more on your own. We have advanced lessons. I can barely read those. I brought some I'm going to leave with you. If you're looking for classroom material, I can't see that far. Lord, teach me how to pray, okay? Test the spirits. Balancing faith and work, I believe, is at the top right. Covenant Promises 1 and 2, and Guide to New Testament Christianity. If you're sponsoring somebody overseas or you know somebody overseas, these are great materials that you can send over to them. Good materials you can use here if you need to. But good classroom material that's designed just for the classroom here in the United States. John Reese, if any of you know who John Reese is, he's been our president for many years. He retired just last year. He writes most of this material. One of the biggest challenges that we had when I was an elder, and it still happens, is finding material that you can use that you don't have to worry about. Is it doctrinally sound? You know, this material is. But it's good material that you could study on your own as well later on. Children's series, we have three books that you can hand out to your neighbor's kids, to your grandkids if they're, you know, up around 10, 11 at the max, but little material there that you can share with folks and get that dialogue started with them. You know, it's not too hard to just ask somebody, you know, would you like to learn more about the Bible? They'll tell you yes or no. You hand it to them, they bring it back, you got 20 questions on this, you grade it, you sit down, you go to the next one with them, okay? We just got to get in the process of where we're asking people and giving them something that doesn't cost them anything or there's no obligation to it. We even have a series for Muslim students as well that's been designed for them. We're embracing new technology, increasing the potential students from millions to tens of millions. Our platforms, the online platform that we'd had for 10 or 12 years was about to crash because it was overloaded. That's been revamped and built stronger. We have thousands of people right now online waiting for a teacher. I tell everybody at Concord Road, and I've been telling this for 20 years, you know, if you want to share the gospel with somebody, there's no excuse why you shouldn't. You can go to World Bible School, sign up to be an online teacher, and there are literally thousands of people waiting for a teacher right now. That's just happened in the last year when this platform went out, and we've expanded. We've had the funds to go on and create the Google accounts, how all that works, where you get certain hits and things like that. But we have thousands of people wanting to study right now online. Reaches students where they are. I was amazed when I went to Africa the first time in 2007. You could literally have a guy living under a bush, and I mean a bush, but he would have a cell phone, or she'd have a cell phone. They're not going to do without their phones. We've got programs where they can download the Bible, where they can download lessons. We kind of take for granted our internet here in the United States. Maybe not us as much, but our younger generations. Overseas, they have to go to cafes where they can get the internet. They have to pay for it. But they can go in there. They can download a Bible. They can download the lessons. They can study on their phone, come back, upload the lessons. Their teacher receives it and sends it back to them. So we reach the students where they are. Allows lessons to be completion offline, as I just said. Addresses their specific spiritual needs, allows the Bible to be downloaded, and engages younger generations, okay? Allows easy introduction to new languages. We're roughly in about four different languages. We have Hispanic lessons, if that's of any need to you. John may have that, but we have a whole Hispanic, all these lessons are Hispanic provided as well. We've enrolled roughly 35 million students since 73. This is actually a couple years old, this slide. That's quite a few, come a long way. Now this one I'm really going to have a hard time reading. This is our latest results on where we are on a campaign called 10 Million for Christ. This is in the last 18 months. These are souls that are reached with our tools, and it counts more than just a student registration. We can have a student register, that doesn't mean they're going to study with us. But all the ways God has enabled us to share the gospel through our tools, each number represents a soul who was presented the gospel through one of our many outreach efforts. 1,640,000 printed lessons. That's a bunch of lessons. 3,710,000 online lessons. We provided 90,000 of our study Bibles. I'm going to leave you one of the study Bibles and tell you more about it in just a second. Methodist. Almost 7 million on Methodist. And these are numbers since April of this year. Those are astounding numbers. Now, I wish we had the baptism numbers on there. Baptism rate, it varies on what country you're in. It's like 1 per 20 students that we have. In some areas, it's 1 in 10. In others, it's 1 in 30 in others. But we have thousands of baptisms a year. The studies that I have, we work a prison program at Concord Road. We have, in three different prisons, we have around 10, 12 baptisms a month in each one of those prisons. Okay? Methodist. I'm not going to bore you with the details because I'm not good with the details on Methodist, okay? Methodist is a social network for spiritual growth. Methodist is the Greek form of disciple, okay? What Methodist is, it's a series of lessons that if you can go to a computer and you can type in Methodist, and I'm going to leave you this information where you can do it, you can study with your grandchildren. And it's a great tool. This is an example of it. I don't know that it's going to run. I think it is. I'm not going to have the sound. That's my fault. But the topic, this lesson is what's the meaning of life. So just look at the graphics on this, and it's got obviously some audio that goes with it. But it's a program that if you've got a laptop and you download this, there's no cost to you, okay? You can study with somebody that's younger, somebody that may be in college on down to middle school. And it asks some serious questions that you can have in discussion with your kids, your grandkids. I'm going to go ahead and go past that. There's three different series of lessons here. wondering what to believe, in need of a Savior, and reaching the family of God. There's 12 lessons in each one of these. So if you've got a high schooler, middle school, college age kid, and they'll sit down and give you a few minutes, these videos are 5 or 6 minutes long, and then it gives you questions that you can discuss. Really easy to do, okay? Great tools. We had a couple out of Memphis that funded all of this. We use this in high school. I've taught this at Lipscomb. They wouldn't let me teach at Lipscomb if I had to. I've taught this at Concord Road in our high school class. I taught a young professionals class with this. Great material. Topics like who is God. This actually, they got these topics off of Google searches. 23,000 questions of this in 1 month when they did this. Who am I? There were 247,000 Googles, who am I? People looking to see who am I, okay? And that's part of the topic. Now that may sound far-fetched to us, who am I? But is there any wonder we've got kids wondering, are they male, female, whatever else? They're so lost in this world, in this country right now. But that's one of the studies. What's the meaning of life? 79,000, okay? You know, kids are confused in this country of ours nowadays because we've replaced God with so much else. You know, we tell them they've evolved from animals. It's no wonder they're doing the things they're doing to themselves, okay? Great material there. So we got the study Bibles. I'm going to leave you one of these. This is our New King James Version. In the back of this Bible, it has the very lessons that we have right here. Have you ever wanted a Bible that you could give to somebody that would help them with some discussion, some commentary, but you can't leave it with them because somewhere in there it's going to say all you got to do is ask God to come into your heart. You know, ask Jesus to come into your heart. Say the sinner's prayer. Over in Africa, they ask me for Bibles all the time, dictionary Bibles. That's what they're wanting, something with a commentary. Well, this Bible right here that's $8 has got all of our lessons in the back. You could give this Bible to somebody and they live up in Kentucky and they can study and you can study back and forth with them, okay? We had an ESV version. Crossway wouldn't let us renew it because of our stance on baptism. They didn't like that. They wanted us to take it out. But New King James, great little Bible. I'm going to leave it with you, okay? Got the printed lessons, got the online lessons, local outreach with Connect, social media, Methodist that I said, we used to have spoken, we no longer have that. Tools at work, foreign countries, your hometown, one-on-one studies, Bible class curriculum, it's for new Christians, for benevolence, multiple languages. You know, we got a lot of tools that you can use. How can I help? Pray for us. I pray for John all the time. I love his ministry, okay? He's in the nitty-gritty with it, all right? And I'm amazed that he can do as much as he does. When I see guys like him and guys like John Miller that are a little bit older than me, I think, I'm not ready to quit just yet, although I want to sometimes. I want to go fishing more often. But pray for us. We're in a campaign. We started it January the 1st of last year. We hope to reach 10 million souls for Christ. We're getting there at 7 million. We're looking for people that'll pray for us, that'll teach, and people that'll give, okay? It's a great ministry. If you're looking for somewhere to help, $1.25 will enable us to study the gospel with somebody. $1.25, okay? Student recruitment, involving congregations, equipping Christians, digital solutions, new apps, postal students with prepositioning. We're doing a two-way scanning back and forth to Africa. It's saving a lot of money and it's saving a lot of time. It's amazing what you can do if you put a scanner in somebody's hand over there that has internet. That's what we do with our guys at Concord Road. It's what we're doing with a lot of people in different places. Difference makers, there are thousands of teachers in the United States and hundreds of congregations that have helped this ministry since 1972. And we're grateful for all of them. If you've been a teacher in the past, we're grateful for you. World Bible School, you sharing Jesus. I am pretty much done. I appreciate the opportunity to come here and share with you. I love coming to other congregations. I think it's the obligation should be of those of us in bigger congregations to help congregations that are struggling, first and foremost. And I was so happy to hear about Home Mission coming here. Dwayne Stubblefield, one of our elders, is on the board. I'm gloating a little bit. I'm proud to say that I brought Home Mission to Concord Road. John called. He wanted 15 minutes of my time. Well, as a deacon of missions, you get all kinds of requests. It's sad how many requests are coming across to larger congregations because congregations can no longer afford to sponsor them. But I was really impressed with what he did. We had turned away too many requests to help congregations in other areas because we can't do it all. We thought this was a way that we could help a ministry that helps congregations that need what he has. Thank you so much for letting me be here this evening. You know, we offer invitations everywhere we go. You never know what could be troubling somebody, where they need the prayers of a congregation, where they need the prayers of the elders, where they need help with members of the church. Or you never know who might have not come to the Lord. I imagine everybody in here is a Christian, has obeyed the gospel. But we always want to offer an invitation. I'm going to leave my information with you. If I can help you in any way further going forward, I'm happy to do so. Appreciate John asking me to come tonight. But if you have a need this evening, we want you to come forward as we stand and sing. And I'm going to be here for a while if you got any questions as well, okay? Thank you so much.